Brendan Rodgers is gone, but who's to blame?
My late father used to say the three sides to every story. Your side, my side, and the truth.
Who is Bayern Munich's new golden boy?
Takes defenders on, beats them, scores goals, brilliant left foot, full of ambition.
And how are Sunderland doing so well?
You have to look at Regis Ullaby, because he's been the kind of Google translate, if you like, to all of this kind of madness.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast No Faff. This is Route 1. Well, when this show started in July, I did not think that we'd be spending so much time discussing Scottish football. But with Rangers unravelling and Hearts flying, there's been no shortage of entertainment north of the border. And now it's got really interesting because Brendan Rodgers has left Celtic and it has not been an amicable departure. The 52-year-old resigned late last night and his departure was swiftly followed by a furious statement from Celtic's majority shareholder, Dermot Desmond. Desmond denounced Rodgers for an alleged difference between his conduct in public and in private, and he accused him of a desire for self-preservation at the expense of others. Now, this was, of course, Rodgers' second spell at Celtic. I don't think there'll be a third. Jim Burke is the host of the RGC Celtic podcast. Jim, what happened? Whose fault is this breakdown? And Martin O'Neill as caretaker manager. That's an interesting choice.
Well, thanks, Ian. My late father used to say the three sides to every story. Your side, my side, and the truth. And I think the statement from Dermot Desmond, which is a two-footer of, it's Chopper Harris proportions. There's a reference for the kids. I don't think it's the full story. And the truth is, I don't think most Celtic fans are either. Dermot Desmond is convincing nobody. A poll in one of the Celtic forums last night basically confirmed that nobody's buying it. But at the same time, Brendan has been duplicitous and being two-faced in his locker as well. So I don't know if we'll ever really know the truth. Bringing back Martin O'Neill, a man who I'm told has managed 19 club games in the last 12 years to work alongside a guy who got sacked by Wigan and Hibs. A lot of fans are excited about it. I have to say, I'm not one of them. But if it's only temporary till we get a new guy, then fair enough. But the word on the street is that Brendan didn't sign an NDA. So I don't think we've heard the last of this one. And then hopefully, though, when the next development happens, it won't happen half an hour after we put our podcast live as it did last night.
You can listen to more of Jim on the RGC Celtic podcast. There's a link in the episode description, and they will be doing a brand new episode this evening. Poor old Harry Kane, he takes 1 week off from goal scoring and Bayern already have a new hero. Lenny Carl, the 17-year-old, apparently named after two Simpsons characters, introduced himself to the football world by scoring screamers. In his Champions League debut, he became the Bavarian's third youngest goal scorer ever, with only Jamal Musiala and Matthias Tell ahead of him. But you can find that out for yourself on Google. Here on Route 1, we still believe in experts, and they don't come much more expert than The Athletic's German football correspondent, Seb Stafford-Blohr. So who is Lenny Carl, Seb? Where has he come from? What sort of player is he? And are we likely to see a lot more of him this season?
He's a great hope of German football, really, Ian, and a great hope for Bayern Munich. So he's been at the club since 2022. He actually grew up in Eintracht Frankfurt's academy, but moved to Bayern 3 years ago. And kind of legends have grown around him because people who've watched him play for their age group teams have reported back a lot of hyperbole, of course. And it's easy to see why, like, diminutive, dribbling player, takes defenders on, beats them, scores goals, brilliant left foot, full of ambition. Easy to get excited about that kind of footballer. But it's, so far, the hype has been worthwhile. He scored a brilliant goal against Borussia Mönchengladbach at the weekend. And a couple of days before, he became Bayern Munich's youngest scorer in the Champions League. Scored against Club Bruges. And actually, Lenny Carl, he's been famous in a way for a long time. So when he was Eintracht Frankfurt, he joined their academy when he was 9 years old. When he was 10, he scored a very famous goal in a sports hall game against Gladbach for Frankfurt's under-11 side. And it was voted their academy goal of the season in 2018. And it went viral in Germany. And people have kind of known about him ever since. I think maybe you kind of forget about players like that in the in-between period. But now that highlight is on pretty steady rotation again. And yeah, I think early days, one Bundesliga start. He still got to become a consistent starter for Bayern. And that will happen in the next couple of years. But it's going to be an awful lot of fun watching him grow.
Check out Seb's work on The Athletic, particularly today. He's done a brilliant German roundup that talks about Schalke going back to the top of the Bundesliga second division. They've been a long time away. So we led on Bournemouth yesterday, but it was a close run thing because Sunderland's 2-1 victory over Chelsea was such a great result. They have been incredible this season. While Liverpool have struggled to integrate all their expensive new players, Regis Labrie has pretty much thrown a brand new team together over the summer, and he's taken the Premier League by storm. They've got 5 wins already, 10 will probably keep them up. I think they'll do better than that. We took a look at them on our website, Track Record Media, a few weeks ago. There's a link in the episode description. They're a proper team. Robin Rofes has been superb in goal. Nnamdi Mukiele has shone at the back. And as for Granit Xhaka, well, I know he's going to win Sunderland's Player of the Year award. Let's put it that way. So how has this happened? And is it sustainable? Lest we forget that Hull City had won 6 games by this point, and the 2008-09 season, they only survived on the final day thanks to the efforts of others. Michael Graham is a Sunderland fan and freelance writer who can be found on Twitter under the marvellous moniker of Captain Fishpaste. Michael, what on earth is going on?
When we got to the Championship, most clubs at that level asked themselves, well, how are we going to get ourselves up? And then if they managed to actually do that, they then start asking themselves, how are we going to stay up? Whereas Sunderland asked themselves both of those things in the same go. How are we going to get up and stay up? It's all well and good having that leg money, but they also spent the kind of 4 years selling themselves to agents. We will provide this kind of pathway. And that's how Sunderland got the likes of Joe at the club in the first place. That's how they got the Jack Clark there. I said, we're going to make you better. We're going to give you your dreams. We're happy to be a stepping stone. And that's why the likes of Diarra, Siddiqui, Atalbi, all of these kind of guys who, you know, I don't think they're going to be here for that long, really, but they're going to help the club improve along the way. You have to look at Regis Labrie, because he's been the kind of Google translator, if you like, to all of this kind of madness. What's very clever about him is that he is a manager who likes to control games without the ball. With Labrie, Sunderland had a manager who had already drilled into them before they went up that, you know, you've got to relish not having the ball. This is what we are. This is the identity. This is the culture of the kind of club. It's been exciting to watch. It's been great to watch. And, you know, I think in many ways we've gone from Sunderland being the club that nobody wanted to be. And now we're at this point where Sunderland appear to be the club who I think everyone's going to look at and think, well, this is the new way of actually doing it. Sunderland can do it. We just have to follow what they've done.
Sunderland were the runaway favourites for relegation this season. Not anymore. We had a quick check with Fitzdares this morning. They're 20-1 on to stay up and out at 7-1 to go down. How quickly things can change. The Premier League's Boxing Day schedule, the most gluttonously enjoyable feast of all the broadcasting schedules, may be reduced to just one game of football this Christmas. This is because Boxing Day falls on a Friday this year, so stuffing the day with a full gamut of matches would leave the weekend bare, and that would leave the league in breach of their agreement to provide 33 separate weekends of Premier League football to broadcasters. So, one game on Friday, followed by a regular weekend schedule, seems the most likely outcome. It's a bit annoying, but normal service will apparently resume in 2026, so I'm going to keep my powder dry on this one and resign myself to a couple of extra games of Cluedo with my family instead. Don't get me started on Cluedo, most overrated board game ever, and I will die on that hill. Fans of Niche Football Trivia will be delighted to see Lutz Pfannenstiel pop up in the mainstream. He's been appointed Aberdeen Sporting Director. Pfannenstiel shot to fame when he became the first ever professional to have played in all 6 of FIFA's 6 confederations. He also stopped breathing three times while playing for Bradford Park Avenue after a collision with Harrogate Town's Clayton Donaldson, and he was once imprisoned in Singapore on suspicion of match fixing, but he was later cleared. Oh yeah, and he once stole a penguin and kept it in its bath. Can't leave that one out. His sporting director era has been suitably wacky. Fortuna Dusseldorf to St. Louis to Aberdeen is frankly a trajectory nobody has ever traversed before, but good luck to him, because Aberdeen need all the help they can get right now. Lots of football for you tonight. We'll start with the League Cup, where the Welsh Derby should be a bit spicy. It's Wrexham from the north against Cardiff from the south, and that's on ITV and Sky. Grimsby Brentford and Wickham Fulham are both on Sky Sports Plus. There are Serie A games too. Atalanta versus AC Milan is on TNT and DAZN. But if you get home from work quickly, you can also watch Lecce Napoli at 5:30. That's also on TNT and DAZN. England's women take on Australia in a friendly, that's on ITV4. And pick of the League One games is Lincoln away at Bradford. The Imps could go second with a win there. Oh, and if you're a fan of watching Premier League Academy teams deny a small club the chance of a day out at Wembley, then you can see the likes of Tottenham, Arsenal and Man City's under 21 sides in the EFL Trophy tonight. That's all on Sky Sports Plus. That was Route 1. It was Football Fast, no faff, and it's here every weekday at about 3 p.m. If you like it, give it a follow, and if you really like it, give it a review. I've been Ian McIntosh. Helena Fremantle was in the producer's chair. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. We'll see you tomorrow.